Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Do you suffer from anxiety that an intruder may be hiding in your room? You're not alone. The internet is so funny, isn't it? Did you hear the one about the guy who overdosed on anxiety pills? He wasn't too worried about it. Yeah, that's pretty funny. But we know that anxiety is a serious issue. And some people are just riddled with it. And people we care about, maybe you are riddled with anxiety today. And we've said over these past couple of weeks that anxiety is difficult to pin down. As Paul Tauchus put it in his 31-day devotional on anxiety, that there's kind of a scale between godly concern, but distracted concern. When we're distracted from thinking about the Lord, anxiety eats us up physically, spiritually, emotionally, and it can really ravage us. And it's important for us to recognize that even though there are physical components of it, whether it be causation or the fruit of our anxious hearts, I think both are probably true sometimes, we do know that there is a sinful side to worry and anxiety. When Jesus says, do not be anxious, he means for us to obey that. And when Paul says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, we don't ever want to have that sinful side. So when anxiety comes, when the temptation comes knocking on your door, and you're tempted to open it, what do you do? And I've said that our gut response, at least mine, is just to immediately go to God's sovereignty. I love God's sovereignty. It's a precious reality that God is in control of all of these circumstances I'm going through. So if I'm distracted to fixate on the circumstances instead of God, knowing that God is in control even of the circumstances is a great help in our temptation to worry. But we've suggested in this series that all other areas of theology have some great things to say as well, and help us to counter-strike when anxiety attacks. Today, I want us to consider angels and Satan and demons, so good and bad angels. What does the Bible teach about them? What does that have to do with anxiety? Well, God uses helpers, and some of these helpers are strong, mighty, invisible beings called angels. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, the author of Hebrews says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? And we know the more familiar verse may be in Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Well, God uses helpers. And I think the big takeaway for us as we're tempted to worry is there's more going on here than meets the eye. In other words, there is an invisible world of things going on in this situation. We only know the things, not even all of the things, that we can see and smell and hear and taste and touch. But God tells us in the scriptures that the invisible world is every bit as real as the physical world. And there's more going on. There's a great story in 2 Kings chapter 6. The story starts in verse 8. The king of Syria is coming to attack Israel, and they're surrounding the city when of the prophet of God, Elisha. He came after Elijah. And so Elisha and his servant were waking up knowing that war was imminent here. Horses, chariots, a great army came by night and surrounded the city. So you talk about a temptation of worry. That's a big temptation of worry, isn't it? I mean, you go to bed and everything's fine. You wake up and your city is surrounded by the bad guys. You're outgunned and outmanned, and you are in a world of trouble. And of course, Elisha seemed cool as a cucumber, but his servant was, to use the biblical language, freaking out, right? He was completely upset by these things. He was utterly flustered by this temptation. And so what did Elisha do? Elisha prayed. Well, that's a good thing to do. He prayed for his servant. It says, the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" This is in 2 Kings 6. That was verse 15 at the end. And he said, that's Elisha, he said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. That story is great, and it goes on further. But for our points now, just to know, God's always working, and he has sent good angels to minister to his children, like you and like me. And, you know, what seems like an impossibility is not impossible at all with God, and even through God's helpers. Wow. Well, the other side of that is, of course, there are demons, fallen angels led by Satan himself. And evil angels will certainly do everything to stir you up and to get you to worry. They would love to focus your attention on circumstances and not on God. They would even plant evil thoughts in your heart, maybe even questioning the character of God. Get those thoughts in your heart. Where did that come from? Well, sometimes it's demonic. God allows the devil to put a tempting thought into your heart that seems to just come out of left field, and you have to fight those thoughts with God's truth. So maybe it might even be a thought about your circumstances being overwhelming. You have to fight that with God's truth. No. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, but is such as is common to man. And God is faithful, and he's going to make a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So that's fighting Satan's lies with God's truth. That really is the essence of spiritual warfare. But sometimes the devil might even plant a thought that questions God's character. Is God good if you are experiencing all of these things? And of course, that's sort of the same tactic he used with Eve back in the Garden of Eden. Has God really said you can't have those things? Oh, God doesn't want you to be like him, knowing good and evil. He was trying to throw shade on God's character. That's Satan's tactics. He's still using them. Well, we need to fight the arrows of doubt with the shield of faith, right? The very fact that it's called the shield of faith in Ephesians chapter 6 to extinguish the fiery darts of the devil, the flaming arrows, if you will, lets us know that the devil fires these arrows, which are doubt. And the way we fight against the devil's lies is by using God's truth, but specifically believing God's truth. Isn't it wonderful to know that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world? 1 John 4:4. And so whatever the devil wants to throw at us with lies, we know God is greater than the devil. The devil can't do anything to you that God doesn't allow him to do. In that sense, I think it was Martin Luther who called him God's devil. He's on a leash. And I know my dog gets a little crazy on the leash sometimes, but God's got the devil tied down tight. And yes, he is still filled with hate and lies and would love to kill and destroy and hinder all of God's children. But God doesn't let the devil do everything the devil wants to do. He actually has to get permission from God. Remember that with Job? And so when we think about what the Bible teaches about angelology, good and bad angels, that actually has something to say about our battle with anxiety. So it's good to know. Now we have to take a break. We're going to come back and look at another area of theology that counterstrikes when anxiety attacks.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Krotz in just a moment. He's talking about spiritual warfare and anxiety today. And it makes you wonder about the battles happening all around us that we can't even see. And that invisible warfare that he's talking about is why consistent spiritual input matters so much. I mean, think about it. If Satan is planting thoughts in your mind every day, sometimes even every hour, well, then shouldn't truth be entering just as often? That's the strategy behind Fortis Plus. Fortis Plus, it's not just another app that's competing for your attention. It's actually a defensive weapon in the spiritual battle. Because honestly, it's full of hundreds of hours of audio and video content right now, and that is not static content. We're adding content every single day. Think of it as reinforcements. Because when the enemy is attacking you with doubt or when life gets overwhelming, Fortis Plus is there. And spiritual warfare, that's something that we believe shouldn't have a price tag on it. You can download Fortis Plus right now. Just go to your app store where you download apps on your smartphone or your smart TV, or you can just simply go to fortisplus.org. And when you do that, you can see exactly what I'm talking about. Look, arm yourself for those battles, the battles that you can't see. Now, let me tell you why this is free, because you might not have heard this before, but it's free. Not free trial free, but actually free. Look, we understand and know that the enemy has unlimited resources to spread lies. They have social media algorithms and news cycles and entertainment. And meanwhile, ministries like ours, we're just trying to counter those lies with truth. But in order to do it, we need people just like you, people who understand we're not just producing content over here, we're engaging in spiritual warfare. So when you join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving to a charity, you're funding a war. So here's my direct appeal to you. We need reinforcements. Not because we're losing the war, but because the battle is getting more intense. Families are breaking down, churches are declining, and these aren't just cultural trends. These are spiritual battles, and we need resources in order to keep fighting. So if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, because as I tell you all the time, that's your number one giving priority. And if you're doing that and you have a margin to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be eternally grateful for you. Just go to fortisplus.org right now to see what it would look like in your life to join us. All right, now let's get back to Dr. John Krotz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome back. Worry, worry, worry. It's kind of feels like it's everywhere sometimes. And we've said before that it is our society's acceptable sin, if you will, but really it's not acceptable at all. Well, we've tried to answer the question, what does theology have to say about this? And we've looked at the different areas of systematic theology, that is, what the Bible teaches about these very fundamental subjects, and then how what the Bible teaches directly counterstrikes our temptation to anxiety and worry. We've considered angels and demons and what they have to do maybe with our specific battle with anxiety and how God uses angels to help us and how there's more going on. I want us to consider anthropology, which is basically what the Bible teaches about humanity. Well, what does the Bible teach about human beings? And how does that weigh in to our understanding of worry and anxiety? Well, one very important lesson the Bible teaches us is that we are embodied. We are embodied creatures. So we have a physical part and a spiritual part, and they are connected together. Some people try to separate the spirit and the soul, but I understand that they're actually, you know, two sides of the same coin, you know. And so really the Bible's pretty clear. We are a unified being, but we do have an immaterial part, a spiritual part, and a physical part. But they are directly connected. So in other words, if you start to struggle or give in to sinful anxiety, and that just keeps ramping up higher and higher and higher, will you feel it in your body? The answer is, yes, you will. The Bible acknowledges that. The Bible demonstrates that. And of course, experientially, I think we all know that gut feeling when we're just worried sick, even as the expression says, we know that our heart rates can go up. We can start to even go into a full panic attack, if you will. Paul Tauchus, in his book on anxiety in the 31-day devotional series that PNR puts out, said that 23 million Americans suffer panic attacks. That's a lot. People are going to the emergency room every day thinking they're having a heart attack when physiologically nothing is wrong. And yet, the symptoms are real. You know, what are you saying? Nothing is wrong. There's definitely something wrong, but there's nothing wrong with your heart. In other words, not the normal symptoms or causes of a heart attack are happening. This actually has a root that's more in the immaterial part of us, in our hearts, in our souls. We are thinking anxious thoughts and they are running away from us. You know, we're not thinking about God. We're just thinking about the circumstances. We're doing the what ifs, right? What if this happens? What if that happens? Sometimes we can run so far ahead of the resources God has provided because we're chasing all the what ifs that aren't even real. We're not even dealing with reality anymore. We're so far gone into the what if weeds, if you will. But for our purposes now, as we're considering theology, what we're learning is, yes, our bodies and our spirits are unified. They are connected. And I've mentioned that anxiety can be caused physically, and it certainly can show up in the symptoms physically of being anxious. So isn't that interesting? It can kind of go both ways. But doctors would tell you, there are many things that can kind of go wrong hormonally or your thyroid or something like that, that can have the result of sending your mind into anxiety. And there can be all kinds of temptation related to that. And so sometimes when people come and they talk to us about the temptation to worry, especially if it seems like it's runaway, we would definitely want to send them to the doctor to get a physical. That's absolutely right. Is something wrong with your hormones? Is something wrong with your thyroids? or many other physical causes. But we want to beware of the tendency in our society today for always looking for chemical answers to spiritual problems, right? Greg Gifford, who has the wonderful podcast Transformed, also has a great book that's out called Lies My Therapist Told Me. And he talks about the fact that people are so quick to just look at symptoms where there is no medical tests left. And they just go, well, because of these symptoms, we're going to prescribe a medicine to treat the symptoms. Well, you might not be dealing with the root cause at all. And again, this isn't the place to talk about how complicated some of those conversations are. I thought Greg did a wonderful job with the book to interact with that whole issue. So I would commend it to you and commend his podcast, Transformed, to you. Those are great resources where he would deal with these things very well. But for our purposes, we just want to acknowledge that, yes, there are some physical components. And yes, in our society, sometimes doctors go for the medicine maybe a little bit too quickly. And maybe there's some spiritual elements that are left undone. So just as an extreme example, right? I'm not trying to make a one-to-one exactly on this, but suppose I came to the doctor and had an arrow stuck into my body. Okay, I was in a medieval fight and an archer shot me with an arrow, and I go and see the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, Mr. Krotz, you're experiencing lots of pain here in your side. Well, we have got some medicine for that. And they put me on so much morphine, I can't feel anything. That arrow pain feels fine because the symptoms are being treated. And yet, if that doctor doesn't do something about the arrow, I'm probably going to die, right? That's not really the cure, even though it did treat the symptom. So it's so important for us to know that we are embodied. And the Bible teaches us that. Tauchus gave an illustration in Genesis 44, verses 30 and 31. Now we're in this section about Joseph in Egypt, and right, he's kind of testing his brothers and that kind of thing. And so we're in the part where Judah's being told that he's gotta leave Benjamin there in Egypt, and he can't go back to Jacob, back in Israel. And so here's the part I wanted to draw your attention to, verses 30 and 31. Now, therefore, as soon as I come to your servant, my father, and the boy is not with us, then even as his life is bound up in the boy's life, as soon as he sees that the boy is not with us, he will die. And your servants will bring down the gray hairs of your servant, our father, with sorrow to Sheol. All right, so Judah, of course, volunteers to stay instead of Benjamin. And let's send Benjamin back so that Jacob doesn't die. Well, that was, there's a lot in that story, right? There's a lot of things going on. But for our purposes now, let's just see this as an acknowledgement that the anxiety that Jacob would have would be overwhelming if Benjamin didn't come back. Of course, he didn't want to send Benjamin in the first place. So this is just a powerful example of how what the Bible teaches about our humanity does speak to anxiety. And it's some important considerations as we counter-strike when anxiety attacks. Let me leave you with one more. In Psalm 103, verse 14, it says, for he knows our frame, he remembers we are dust. I love that. God knows. He's reminding us, he knows we're dust. He knows what life's like in this fallen world. He knows that sometimes these temptations feel overwhelming and that it's hard for us to trust him, but he's going to give us grace. He loves us. He cares about us. He cares. He made us to be humans, body and spirit together as one. And he made us to trust him and not to give in to sinful worry. Okay, now that we're knowing our theology, knowing what the Bible teaches, let's go do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.